It's a Friday, and we're getting you ready for high school football here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. And it's time now for us to dive right into the Alcorn Archive. It's brought to you by Mama Joe Pie. And we have Tim Alcorn in studio with us this week, and we're going to take another trip down memory lane. And we were going to hold off on the playoffs, but sometimes there are moments that are just too good to wait on. Tim, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's great to be in studio and see you face-to-face. As I've said the first few weeks, I'm loving this. I'm enjoying it. It's so much fun to go back and relive these memories and hear the names that it seems like just yesterday they were playing, but now these guys are in their mid to late 20s already. But, yeah, this has been so much fun. I thought you were going to say we have Pie in studio rather than Tim Alcorn in studio. But, hey, it's great to see you.
Well, it's great to see you as well, even though I might play second fiddle to Pie. I'm Mama Joe Pie at that, but that's okay. I mean, if you brought a key lime pie here in studio, I'm not quite sure who wouldn't play second fiddle to a key lime pie for Mama Joe Pie, but
absolutely.
Still, we'll have a lot of fun today as we take a trip down memory lane. Today's episode takes us all the way back to November the 3rd, and the year was 2012, and this is a playoff game. And it involves the Columbia Raiders. They took on Archbold, and this was the first time that Columbia had hosted a playoff game.
It was. Boy, there's so many things that I could do to set the scene for this. I'll try to keep it somewhat short, but Bull, you just said first time Columbia had ever hosted a game. So the community and the school was just on fire about this, that, man, we get to host a playoff game. Columbia had made the playoffs in the past, but I believe, I don't know if this was the very first time they had made it since the expansion to eight teams, which then, of course, included home games for the first round. But the community was so excited to host a playoff game. They had a tremendous team that year, obviously a postseason team. But the other thing was, it was a Saturday night game. It was one of the playoff games that was played on Saturday night. I remember that. And so really it was the only game in town. So not only were the Columbia fans filling the place, but basically anybody looking for a football game on a Saturday night, they were piling into that tiny little stadium over in Columbia. And then Archbold, a perennial power in the western part of the state of Ohio, great fan following. It was a beautiful night. So you saw a lot of out-of-county plates coming in to follow Archbold. So the place was packed. I mean, they were down on the track. They were ringing the field. It was just an unbelievable atmosphere.
Sure sounds like it. And you said the name Jay Banez a lot on this particular night. As a matter of fact, he graced the cover of the Forecast magazine the very next year. And, you know, he seemed like he did a little bit of everything. In this game, he threw a couple touchdown passes and he ran for quite a few more.
271 yards on the ground for Jay Banez. He ran for 271. I mean, he was truly a multi-dimensional quarterback. That's without saying, because the guy could throw it, he could run it. Jason Ward, his head coach, a former quarterback at Midview, so he liked to have his quarterbacks do different things, as he still does. And Jay Banez was just electric that night. It was one of the greatest postseason performances by one single player that I've ever seen.
And this was one of those nights, too. You mentioned the atmosphere was really awesome. And speaking with Jason Ward about a week or so ago prior to their game against Wellington, I told him that this episode was coming up. And he said, you got to text me when it's coming on because I definitely want to hear it. And one of the things he told me was that, look, there were only two moments in my life where I had my breath taken away. One was the birth of my daughter, and the other was this particular game, to give you an idea as to just how awesome this was. And, you know, they fell behind in this game. Then they came back, and they ended up winning by a pretty narrow margin, but this is a game that had a lot of points scored in it.
Yeah, 39-34 final. Columbia won the game, and it was back and forth, up and down the field. Like I said, it was a perfect night for football, so the playing field, even though Columbia has that natural grass, was in great shape. It wasn't all torn up. It hadn't been beat up during the regular season, so it was a night where the offenses could really take control of the game, and they did.
They certainly did. We've got lots of highlights to play for you. Here's the first touchdown pass of the game for the Columbia Raiders.
Second and goal from the four-yard line. Ball is at the right hash mark. Banez with Kleinhens right next to him. Banez gets the snap, looks, throws, complete to the three, and into the end zone for the touchdown. It's Jesse Lambert. Will Lambert with the kickoff return to ignite the Raiders. And he closes out the drive by hauling in the touchdown pass from Jay Banez. And it's a 7-6 contest, 4:17 to go here in the first quarter.
We mentioned you'd hear the name Banez quite a bit. Now, that was his first touchdown pass of the game, but he did a ton of damage with his legs. Tim, you mentioned he went over 200 yards on the ground in this game.
Almost 300. 271 on the ground for Jay Banez that night. He ran it 34 times. Now, you're going to have to talk to Jason Ward. Heck, maybe I'll text him, too, to say, I don't recall if that was part of the initial game plan that they wanted Jay to run the ball that much, or perhaps Archbold had done a lot of scouting and film work to say, we're going to take away his air game and make him run the football. Either way, it worked out well for the Columbia Raiders that night.
It certainly did. We mentioned that Banez did a lot of damage on the ground. Here's his first touchdown rush.
Again, Kleinhens right next to Banez. Jay fakes the handoff, comes up the middle, and he dives in for the touchdown.
Good lead block there by his fullback, Kleinhens.
Jay Banez with a 3-yard touchdown run, and Columbia is within two at 14-12. 7:26 to go here in the second quarter of play.
That was Coach Rob Clerical, right?
It was, and here's another quick story about that game. So Rob at that time was the head football coach over at Keystone. They didn't make the playoffs, so Rob was available to do the game on the radio. First time ever he had done a game with WEOL. And, of course, the name Clerico is a famous name in Columbia because Rob's dad, Don Clerico, was a legendary coach at Columbia High School, was there for many, many years. And so I thought it would be cool to have Rob do the game with us, knowing that he certainly had a relationship with Columbia when his dad was there and so forth. So Rob did an awesome job that night. He did a tremendous job. And I don't think we were off the air 10 seconds. We took our headsets off, and I said, Rob, whenever you get done coaching at Keystone, we're going to talk about you doing color commentary for WEOL, because he was just terrific. And, of course, when he stepped down as the head coach at Keystone, I think it took me about a half hour to get a hold of him and say, hey, remember that conversation we had after the Archbold game? And we brought Rob on board as a color commentator, and he was fabulous. Just a terrific radio announcer. And now I know he's over at Firelands, so his new duties at Firelands prevent him from doing games with WEOL this year. But, that was Rob Clerico's radio debut on WEOL. So it was a memorable night.
All kinds of things going on.
He was a great color commentator. Miss working with Rob.
We do. Yeah, we love having Rob here for sure. Well, you and Rob had lots of touchdowns to analyze and call throughout the course of the night. We mentioned that some of the damage was done through the air, some on the ground, and it was a very tight contest all the way through, and it was just one of those seesaw battles, just taking a look at some of the highlights. Here's the next touchdown pass from Jay Banez.
Second down and 9 for the Raiders. They are at the blue streak 20-yard line. Banez with time. Jay steps up, looking. Oh, here comes the rush. Eludes it. Banez heads to the right. Throwing to the back corner of the end zone. Touchdown! Oh, what a throw by Banez as he was able to hit Matt Foley in the back corner of the end zone. 2:08 to go here in the first half of play. And it's a 21-19 contest.
And that was just the first half.
That was just the first half, and that was a huge score. I remember that because you could sense Archbold taking some control of the game, and so that's a late score by Columbia in the second quarter. So now they've got the momentum going into halftime and going into the second half. And, again, you could hear the crowd, of course, at Columbia. We're on that home side, and it just erupted. It was a great catch by Bowie in the end zone. I remember that, but as I made the call – and as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I'm hearing these in real time, but Banez eluding that rush. He was so shifty on his feet, and he was able to elude, head to the right, and then he just threw a strike to Bowie in the end zone.
You mentioned that they took that momentum into the half, and that carried over into the second half as they were able to take their first lead of the game on a Jay Banez touchdown rush.
Kleinhens behind Banez, who comes up under center. Jay on a quarterback sneak to the right side, and he's in for the touchdown. Jay Banez with the 1-yard sneak. That's his second touchdown run of the night. He's got 16 on the year, and the Raiders lead it for the first time. They are up 25-21 with 7:50 to go here in the third quarter of play.
And as it turned out, that was a lead that they would never relinquish the rest of the night.
No, they wouldn't. Archbold, in fact, would score two more times in the ball game, but that Columbia offense just kept going up and down the field, led by Banez, either with his legs, as we said, he ran for 271, or with the arm. And one of the things that I was noticing, and again, a huge thank you to Tim Gebhardt from the Chronicle-Telegram. He's been sending us the box scores of the games that we're doing just so we can refresh our numbers a little bit. Banez, he only completed, I say only, 11 passes on the night, but six different receivers. So he was spreading the wealth a little bit, and but right there, he's thinking, hey, I'm just going to take it in myself. I'm going to get us those 6 points, and they were six big points there to take that first lead of the night.
And Banez would get into the end zone two more times, both with his feet, giving him four rushing touchdowns in the game. And we mentioned that that lead was one they would never relinquish. The next touchdown, obviously a huge one, because this one put them up by double digits.
Second and goal, Raiders. Banez will now come up under center with Kleinhens behind him. Banez sneaks to the right. Banez, he looks in. He is for the touchdown. Jay Banez, his third rushing touchdown of the night. And with 2:09 to go in the third quarter of play, the Raiders now lead it 32-21.
Now, I guess at that point, I don't think you sensed that it was necessarily over, but I think you could certainly sense that the momentum had totally shifted in favor of the Raiders.
Great point. And obviously now you've got an 11-point lead, and you've scored 32 points in still less than three quarters. So you knew Archbold was having a difficult time shutting down that Columbia offense. So you thought an 11-point cushion, that appears pretty safe, because you certainly don't think Columbia's done scoring yet.
And as it turned out, they were not done scoring yet, as Jay Banez would get into the end zone again. This time, he was able to punch it in again with his feet.
Second and goal, and Banez will come up under center. Jay Banez to the right side, moves the pile. We're waiting for the indication. Touchdown!
Two of them this time.
I wanted to make sure. Jay Banez with a one-yard touchdown sneak. And the Raiders now lead at 39-27, 11:07 to go here in the fourth quarter of play.
And that turned out to be enough. By the way, that's always the toughest touchdown to call as the play-by-play guy. You're never totally sure if they're in or they're not in. You want to make sure you wait just long enough. You don't want that premature touchdown call. That's the toughest one to call. The hardest part is waiting. But I thought you did a nice job on both of those, just kind of waiting a little bit before you finally get a signal.
Well, until those arms go up, that's when the play-by-play guy knows it's a touchdown. So, you know, the fans may be saying something. Rob Clerico may be saying something. I got to wait until those arms go up. But, again, a huge night for Banez, and what a leader he was for that football team. As you said, he would win the Golden Helmet Award that year and end up being on the cover of the WEOL forecast the following fall. And, you know, I look back on Jay Banez, and it was just one of those guys where everybody on the team followed his lead.
And now, of course, he's an assistant coach on Jason Ward's staff for those Columbia Raiders. And, you know, just looking back at this game, just seeing the battle early on, the back and forth, you know, and then you see the final score of this game. After that touchdown, Archbold would get into the end zone one more time to make this a one-score game, but you could really sense in the second half, while Archbold kept things kind of close, the second half really belonged to Columbia.
It did. They had the momentum. Again, the offense was virtually unstoppable that night. And again, I think if Archbold had taken the lead, if there had been enough time on the clock, Columbia would have come back and scored, because Archbold, those blue streak, they just couldn't stop that Columbia offense. It was clicking on all cylinders. One of the things, Bull, about doing the show this week in studio, I forgot my charts. Because usually when I'm at home and we're on the phone, I've got my charts in front of me. So I wish I could remember the offensive line for Columbia that night. When your quarterback rushes for 271, and he had some big gains, the offensive line deserves a lot of credit. So all you mid-20-year-old offensive linemen for Columbia now, I'm sorry, I forgot my charts at the house. I still have those charts. I can't rattle your names off, but I'm sure if you ask Jason Ward, he's going to rattle their names off, because the offensive line that night for the Raiders did a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. As you mentioned, a quarterback doesn't rush for nearly 300 yards by accident, no doubt. Before we let you go, we've got to let the listening audience know, if they don't already, you're back behind the microphone with some play-by-play tonight on our Center for Orthopedics Gridiron Clash later tonight.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. Kind of reuniting with the old gang, per se, with Tommy Evans and Z's Old Tie, and so those guys that I really cherished all the games we did together. So looking forward to seeing them and working with them tonight. And, of course, as a Midview grad, I know all about the Midview-North-Ridgeville rivalry, whether they're both 0-4 or whether they had both been 4-0 coming into tonight's game. That's one of the best rivalries as far as local rivalries are concerned. So we'll have a lot of fun with that one. And, of course, again, thanks to you and everybody here at WEOL for allowing me to do the game.
Well, we certainly are looking forward to hearing the call tonight. Glad you were able to do it, because it should be a lot of fun at North Ridgeville tonight. That puts the wraps on another edition of the Alcorn Archive, brought to you by Mama Joe Pie. Tim, a lot of fun as always, and we'll have to dig through the archives to bring up another good one next week.
Oh, we'll find one. Again, you and I were chatting before we rolled here. I've been kind of going through my charts and going through the memory bank just to pull out different teams and different games. But this one I remember oh so well because of the atmosphere, because of the electrifying play on the field. That's a night I'll never, ever forget. That was a fun high school football game.
Well, hopefully you'll have a fun one tonight. Have a great call this evening, my friend.
All righty. Thanks, Bull.
Thank you, Tim. Tim Alcorn with the Alcorn Archive, brought to you by Mama Joe Pie. We'll come back after this to wrap up Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.